I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting Throne of Glass by Sarah J. Maas. Are you ready? It's time. Okay, so we did The Assassin's Blade.
We did.
And now we're reading Throne of Glass. I've yet to finish the next book, so that
that's good though. Forward. That's good. Don't get too far ahead before
exactly.
we're talking
I put it
about
aside.
It.
I said I'm going to put it aside until after we record this podcast. So,
yeah, because I'm always warring within myself of like, you know, what it was in this book versus what do I know from later on. So it's good you're not going to have that battle.
Yes. So today we are going to discuss this one, which. Was very like Hunger Games-ish, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's
like,
a good comparison.
I got that vibe with the whole
the competition with eliminations and
also kind of similar to like ACOTAR book one towards the end.
Yeah, the competition or the challenges she had to do, but except that she wasn't fighting against like other competitors.
Where I feel like
but she had to complete these tasks. Yeah.
Yes. I feel like these challenges, tasks were not as intense.
No, I mean, like some of them are just like an archery challenge or like an obstacle course.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. For some of them, I was definitely expecting like a little more.
Yeah. And some of them aren't even named. She's like, oh, we had two more tasks that you don't even like know what they are. But I think that's because that's not really the important thing about this book, right? This book is really the world building for the series. Right.
Yes.
Like, because we read The Assassin's Blade, you do have some of that already. But this was the first full length novel that she wrote. So I don't remember if we really went into this detail last time, but The Assassin's Blade as one collection, like together in the book, that came out after Throne of Glass. But four of the five stories in it were published separately as ebooks before this full book, Throne of Glass, came out.
Oh, yours is
just the one. Yes, isn't it pretty?
It is pretty. Where do you find these beautiful collector's
editions?
It's
gorgeous. And
it comes in a white stag on the back?
Yeah. Well, it's gold on this because it's gold leaf. But I have a reel on this on our page, but it's a collector's edition. I have the same thing for ACOTAR. And it came in a slipcase. And it's beautiful. Like, look inside. So you get like, there's like just the gold.
It's gorgeous.
Page here. But like, look at the map compared to like the map in the regular books.
Wow. Yeah, no.
It's so like
my map is detailed.
Oh, I know, cuz I have
not that.
I have the non fancy ones too. So,
you know what? Cool.
And there's several more places on here too that are not on the map.
You know what would be awesome if someone hasn't already thought of this? So cuz I love how someone probably did think of this. I bet you if I went on Etsy and just like looked it up. Her maps really are so beautiful, especially like that. It'd be cool to just be able to like print that map and like hang it, you know what I mean? In like artwork kind of thing.
Yeah. Someone probably has
a wall, you know, I need.
Hopefully like somebody that has like a licensed version.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a cool thing that you can look for when you're looking for mass merchandise is that some of the shops are actually licensed. She's actually given her stamp to it. So not only does she, as sort of the creator of this intellectual property, get a little percentage of sales, they give that to her somehow, but she authorizes it. So you know that it's like
legit.
Yeah. Look further. So all the pages have some kind of art on them. So it's either like sword, there's little word marks on
That's
the edges
so cool.
of each page. Where did you
get
and then
that from?
Sometimes I ordered it from bookstore, and there's the Eye of Elena.
Oh, so nice.
On the middle. So like every page has some kind of that artwork. The chapter titles have the
that's really cool.
There.
I want that.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And it wasn't that expensive. I want to say like $30-something.
That's really not bad.
If you can
like
still
a
get
hardcover.
It. Yeah, I hope she'll do this for Crescent City as well, like
but
the first book. Because
it's just the first one, though, right? It's not. Like
it's just the first one. Yeah,
it's such a bummer. I would want like all of them. You know,
I would too. But yeah, that would add up.
You know what I'm wondering? So you know how she just changed the covers of Throne of Glass? I'm wondering if when I go to order the others, if I'm going to get the like now
oh,
I'm going to
probably
have, like,
are.
Half, right? So
you
I have
probably are the old unless you covers. Order them soon or go to your bookstores because they might be clearing them out. That's actually how I got. So I have this whole series in. I read it in eBooks first, but then I found this store called Book Outlet. This is not an ad. I just love, and they like get stuff that's, you know, I'll sometimes get things with like a Target sticker mm-hmm. on it or whatever. So it's like overstock or stuff that didn't sell initially at a store, then it goes to this store. So they're heavily discounted. So I got all the hardcovers for Throne of Glass from between $8 and $11
each. Wow.
Yeah. And then I got all the minis. So there's, I think I showed you before, there's like a set of little minis like this.
Yeah.
Those ones were like $5 to $8 each.
Wow.
So I haven't seen them pop up in that store yet, but I would say this is a great time to keep an eye out at your bookstores if they have like a clearance section.
Yeah.
Because she changed the cover,
if anyone's confused. She just released new covers. So I'm like,
they're pretty cool.
Yes, they are. Although I do like these old covers a lot, but I would want my collection to be the same.
Yeah, so you should definitely start looking and see if you can figure out how to get the old ones. I probably
should just go and order and make sure. See what happens.
all my ebook versions, they just changed.
Really?
Yeah, like look.
Ah, see, that tells me I might. Changed. Oh, I might have to go to my local bookstore and see what I can.
Yeah, like if places have it in-house, they're obviously going to try and get rid of it unless the publisher is like buying back. But that's how I also got some ACOTARs like that. So she changed ACOTAR after the first three, right?
Yes.
So because all these books I just had on as ebooks for a long time until I started collecting the hardcovers only a couple of years ago, really.
Yeah.
So because I was on a book buying ban for a long time. and yeah, so I got them like that. The old covers as well.
I'm going to have to see. Out. Yeah. Keep an eye out for it. Cause I don't mind these covers. I think they're kind of cool. She looks like
I've seen some criticism of them and I was like, yeah, she looks like a badass. What's wrong with her? I love her.
What's the
criticism? And I like seeing the progression, like her image actually changes over the covers over the course of the series to correspond with how she looks in the books and
details and stuff. I don't mind this. I know they said it's more of like a young adult, but I don't see it that way, you know? So anyway, I'm going to have to see. Anyway, back to the story.
Back to the story. Got distracted with my pretty cover there.
It was so pretty. Okay. So anyway. Okay.
So yeah. So I was saying that of the Assassin's Blade, only one story. So the one about the assassin and the healer, that one was written / published after Throne of Glass. So the other four were before, but because the collection of them all together came out after Throne of Glass, there's this whole controversy about when you should read it. And I honestly just think people are overcomplicating it. Probably. But as long as you just read it, I don't care when you read it. So if you did not read The Assassin's Blade first, you might be listening to this episode first. You may not have listened to our Assassin's Blade coverage, but either way that you got here, welcome.
Yeah. Either way, you should still read it because if you didn't
read definitely read it.
It was fantastic. So,
oh my gosh, I've heard of people like getting to the end of the whole series and being like, yeah, I don't really think I'll read the novellas. I'm like, what? They're so good.
I'm so glad I did. Sam. Oh, still heartbreak. Oh,
I know.
Yes.
You're going to have more heartbreak, FYI, coming for going through the series, but you will love it.
I know. I'm a little sad where I'm at right now, but we're not going to talk about that. Okay.
No, save that for next time.
So this we pick up with her in the salt mines of Endor.
Yeah. Yeah. So right where we left off in the Assassin's Blade, her walking into there, she's being escorted out. So Kale, the captain of the Kingsguard, and the prince have come to get her, and they propose her this thing where she can earn her freedom if she participates in this competition and becomes the king's champion and then serves him for 4 years. They bargain down to. There's kind of, I feel like there's no question the whole time that obviously she's going to win.
But 1,000%. But I obviously. Love how no one, well, I love how they don't want anyone to know who she actually is. And she kind of, and then Kale is like, don't do well. Kind of like fall in the middle.
Don't make yourself a target.
Like,
yeah.
Like I know that you can do this, but you can't be the best and don't be the worst. Yeah. So just fall somewhere in between.
Totally.
And eventually she's like, fuck that shit. You know
what I mean? I know. I think the one where she lets it go, that would be so hard to hold yourself back. But the one where she lets it go is like one of the guys is really taunting her and insulting her. And she just like kicks the shit out of him in like three moves.
I love it.
And yes. after that, she like they she gains some respect with the with yes. the other competitors.
Because she's the only like, woman.
Yeah.
And she's young.
Yes.
She's what, 17?
At this point, 18? I think she's 18. I want to say she's 18.
And she's basically up against, that's the other thing. She's up against, like, everyone has a very terrible history. Right? Like, oh, they're all awful. Criminals.
Like, the eyeball eater guy?
Oh, God. Yeah.
I'm glad he's, like, first to go.
I know, me too. I was like, that's just gross. Even Selena's like, okay.
Yeah, that's too much. Like,
you gotta go.
Yeah. So, I can skin a man without using a knife, but, like, yeah. eyeball eating, yeah, you've gone too far.
Right, exactly. I have limits. But, yes, they're all, like, the worst of the worst people. You know what I mean?
And yeah.
What's the
yeah, one? It, you kind of then don't feel bad when they start getting killed.
No, not at all. You're just like, see you later. Or even not get killed. Some just get sent back to where they came
they
from.
They do,
right?
Some of them, yeah.
Not kind
yeah.
of like what the... But yeah, and she's... So yeah, she's Lillian, right? Is her a jewel thief?
Lillian Gordana.
Yes, a jewel thief is what she's posing as. So...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then we find out everyone actually did know who she was, so...
Well, a few key players knew yes. who she was and then spread that info to a couple of them.
How did they find out, though? Do we?
Well, Kane knew. So right. the big threat, who I picture as like the big giant guy from Game of Thrones, the mountain.
Yeah. Oh, I see it.
That's how okay. I picture him. But he's like, yeah. he starts big and then he keeps getting bigger mm-hmm. over the course mm-hmm. of the. And she's like, I swear that guy is like, you know, 10 pounds more muscle than the last time I saw him.
Yes.
Like, how is that possible? Yeah. And yeah. of course, we find out how that's possible. He's using magic to steal people's strength.
Right.
Through the right. whole process. So he knows because the Duke of Parrington knows because he right. was with them when they went. He's like the king's right hand man. And he goes to Endovir to get her out. So he tells Kane and then Kane tells like his buddy. And then there's times where Kane taunts her, but like in a, about her real name, about, you know, who she really is, or about waking up to see her in a bed of blood, like between her parents who were killed, all these sort of little hints. And so there's times where, like, remember when Nox, her ally, kind of finds out who she is, it's because of something that Kane is taunting her. And then he was like, kind of starts putting together the pieces and he's like, wait, so you're not from near Endovir. You were in Endovir, yeah. right? And like, yeah. would I have heard when you went? And she's like, everybody heard when I went.
Yes,
and he like right. puts that's it right. together then. And he's the one that she, he, they're allied. Like she saves his life once and they help each other out a few times. She's actually like, get out of here. Like there's I some bad shit happening here.
Yeah.
I liked him too. And like, he actually takes off like before the final competition because she's like, you know, somebody's there's some bad magic happening here, just like leave. And he does.
I liked their alliance there. Mm-hmm. Which again sounds weird because these people are all really terrible people. But yeah. I like
he doesn't seem so bad though. He's just a thief and we don't get really like worse details than that.
Right. That's kind of the extent of it.
So we get a bit more like the world building stuff here, particularly when they're traveling from Endovir to Rifthold, which takes like 2 weeks. You get more of like, you get a bit of a hint again of where she came from, you know, that she like was running away from somebody when she was like eight, leapt into a river to escape them and then was found by Arabin. We know that there were fairies, like F-A-E-R-I. I-E-S, like gnomes, sprites, nymphs, goblins, whatever, like tons of species. And they were all ruled by their larger human-like cousins, the Fae. Mm-hmm. But the King of Adarlan, when he started conquering all the other countries, he outlawed magic, Fae, and fairies. So executed a ton of them. The rest fled or hid. But we get these little hints that they're still around, like when they're camping on the way to Rifthold. One morning she wakes up and there's all these tiny little flowers left at the foot of her cot. And tiny little footprints like going in and out of the tent. She's careful to like hide them right away.
Yeah.
So fairies are leaving her little presents.
I love that. Yeah. And I love that she was like protective of it, you know, open to it.
Yes.
Of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And the stag too. Remember when they see the stag and they want to, the guys with them want to kill it. And they start saying bad stuff about the forest, Oakwald Forest, which is a very magical place. And she's like, I wouldn't talk like that about it. while you're in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I love how she gives no fucks and just like about what she's saying, what, you know what I'm saying? She, like she just doesn't care that she's being taken to the palace.
Like, you know? How much worse can this get?
Exactly. For me? She's just like, I'm just going to tell you like how it is. So what I love about her.
There's even like we find out how rock bottom she's really at, because there's a story of like one time that she tried to escape.
Yes.
And she's like, I wasn't actually trying to escape. It was essentially a suicide run.
Yeah.
And she was going to see how far she got. And she got like crazy far, killed like what, like 24 people and got almost to the gates, like 300 and something feet, whereas most people make it 3 feet before getting shot. Yeah,
right.
But yeah, her goal was to die.
Yeah.
So this is actually giving her a little bit of hope for future, the idea of possible freedom.
Right.
And that idea of freedom, which she has not had her whole life that she remembers, her whole life that we know about it. It's so enticing that it even makes her make like a pretty big decision towards the end of this book in terms of the love story.
Yes. Yes. Should we?
What'd you think about that? The love story. So her and Dorian, the prince. So it seems like from the beginning, there's a little bit of, it's not really a love triangle, but there is a bit of like a something going on between her and Kale and something going on between her and Dorian, but it's Dorian that she wants.
Yes.
as she says. And
yeah, I really like Dorian. Kale. I mean, I think their relationship reminded me a lot of Feyre and Rhys in the sense that they're together, training and all of that, right? So I think like, yes, they end up developing a strong friendship, but I also really like Dorian because I think he knows his father's an asshole and he does not, he's not blind to it like Kale is, right? So he's the, what's his title?
Kale is like the captain of the king's, captain of the royal guard.
Right. So I think like for him, sometimes it's just more like his duty other than like what's right, you know, whereas
he's very Dorian, black and white,
very much so. Yeah. Whereas Dorian is not that way and really like can't stand his dad. So I love those moments that we get with Dorian and Celaena, you know, at night and chatting and all of that. It just feels very real, you know? Mm-hmm. So I really like him, but I also see how, you know, I guess I can't say much more. I gotta like stop at book one, right?
You do have to stop at book one. Yeah, but he's cute. He's like, there's a whole like kind of loose Cinderella adaptation kind of thing going on here, right? So he's the prince and she's like the dirty, like, like literally at first, like layers of dirt on her from the salt mines. And she gets to like, you know, get the pretty dresses and whatever.
Which she loves because she loves things.
She's even kept from the ball.
Yeah, that's true.
Sneak into the ball.
Yes.
All that stuff. Yeah. But I like it. It's very real in also, you know, remember that this is YIA, so we don't get beyond kissing here. But I like how that's what happened in Assassin's Blade 2. We didn't get beyond kissing. But as far as like she's, you know, as mature and experienced as she is killing people for the last 7 years or whatever, when it comes to love and that kind of thing, she's very like she's taking it slow in both those relationships. Right. So like the fact that they only get to kissing, you know, I just remember those nights, you know, where you like kiss and you talk and you kiss and you talk and you just like hang out with somebody getting to know them.
High school. Yeah.
It's very pure.
Yes. Yeah. You know, like you're just staying up late.
Yeah, and you know. Right. And they should be like high school age.
Exactly.
Or like, I mean, college, I guess, 18, 19.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I really like what you said about Dorian. Like he recognizes what his father is. He says, I don't want to lead like that. I don't like he's almost looking at it more clearly through his relationship with her and saying, you know, not only do I not want to live like that, but like I'm ready to stand up against it.
Right. Which is why I think they're drawn to each other because she's obviously because he knows who she is. So I think
he knows that she's Celaena.
Celaena. Yes. stick with book one, Cheryl. You're not supposed to.
Well, we know it's hinted from the beginning with this, where she talks about going in the river, that Erebin's going to find her and give her a new name, a name that's not so dangerous. Mm-hmm. So we know that she was someone before that. Yes. We just don't know who yet.
Got. But yes, he knows who she is. She's obviously a dangerous person, and he doesn't let that get to him. You know, like, I feel like she really opens up with him, still obviously doesn't tell him everything, but you know what I mean? Like, they just have this very open, chatty, you know, yes, like late night talking till the wee hours of the morning kind of relationship. Yeah. Great. Cause it said he would leave like super, super, like he'd almost like just spend the night and then like sneak off. So I really like Dorian. So
yeah, me too.
He's, I hope we see a lot more of him, because obviously it doesn't end so well with him at the end of this book, right?
Poor Dorian.
It can't be together. And he's like so devastated, but I do understand her point.
Yeah.
She wins.
There's no future, right?
Right.
Like, she has to work for his father, and like, that's a bit weird, but also like, she has her eye on the prize of like real freedom that she's never had before. And she's like, what would this even look like down the road? Like, even when I'm done being the champion, like, you're a crown prince. Like, I can't,
which I can't work out in the long term. Yeah. Because I feel like that darn title just kind of gets in the way of things. So, I feel bad for him. He's like genuinely very, very heartbroken by it. So
he's so nice. And he's like, his father criticizes him for being like a reader, not a fighter. And I'm like, I love him for being a reader. Like, when they first time she's like finds out about the library at the castle, and she's like, what? Like, nobody's reading all these like million books.
Yes.
So she like sends him a note, like, please, may I have official permission to read the books? And he just like sends her a stack of seven. He's like, let's talk about them later.
I love that. That's what I mean. Like, I love that they have that relationship and that bond, and you know it. Yes. So he is still one of my favorite characters thus far. So I think
I can freely say he is still one of my favorite characters, knowing the whole series without giving any details.
Good to know. I'm glad. I hope he gets he finds his happiness. So I like him.
My mouth is shut.
Okay.
But he goes, he has quite a progression over this, like from, I was just looking back, like probably about 2/3 through the book, one of those nights that they have where he's saying, like, basically, I don't know how you can stand to be around me, like knowing who I am and knowing who my father is. And I'm so sorry for what's happened, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, he says, I'm not yet enough of a man to stand against him. But by the end of the book, he says, he was done with politics and intrigue. He loved her, and no empire, no king, and no earthly fear would keep him from her. No, if they tried to take her from him, he'd rip the world apart with his bare hands. And for some reason, that didn't terrify him.
Is that a little foreshadowing?
It just might be. It just might be. There's a lot of, so I'll look at, I won't show you which is which, but like, see the colors I've marked in here? Mm-hmm. The green ones, the light green, are foreshadowing. So there's a fair bit of them.
Something just
came
into my mind.
Oh, can you say it?
Nope. Because it's based on Marianne in book two.
Okay. So save it. Right. Make a little mental note. We'll talk about it next time.
Oh, wait. Oh, now I'm wondering some things. Okay. Disregard.
This is like what happens to me every time I read a Sarah J. Maas book, even when it's like I reread, because I'm like, oh, wait a sec. Could that mean this and this and this? And there's like things that I'm not as deep a diver as there are some people out there that, like, I mean, I bow down to what they have done.
I feel like I feel like you know more than most people reading these books.
Well, thank you. I should send you a couple of accounts that will make it clear that I don't know as much as some.
Wow.
There are some that are amazing. Some of the things that they figure out, and even like, well, I can't really say it yet.
Okay, don't.
Parallels between this first book and the last book in this series, and just different little things that people remember. Like some things that are like, it seems like a one-liner.
Yeah, yeah.
And then someone will be like, oh, but how that ties into ACOTAR and ties into Crescent City. And like, that means this and blah, blah, blah. And it's like a whole theory develops from like one line. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I don't know. My brain could work like that.
It's very impressive.
That is impressive.
It's very impressive.
Well, now I'm wondering, I've got something in my head. I'm going to have to, you know, I don't mind spoilers. I'm going to have to go Google once we.
Well, just ask me first. I want to know what it is.
Okay. Not right now.
Just don't do that on here because we don't want to spoil for someone who doesn't want to know.
Okay. Anyway.
Oh, and you know, if Dorian didn't already have a heart, when he gives her Fleetfoot.
Yes. I know. He gives her a cute dog. Like, how do you not like someone who gives it? I know. So sweet. That's what I mean. I just love their whole little, and I love that little dog. It's like her best friend, you know, well, one of, you know what I mean? Like the whole time. So cute.
Well, let's talk about that. Friends, because how we left it after Assassin's Blade, she had had a friend betray her for not the first time. We know that she's never really had Ansel. Yeah, we know. Sorry if you haven't read Assassin's Blade yet, but you should have. We know she doesn't have a good history of having a friend that is like loyal and sticks with her. Right. So when she first meets Nehemia, they become friends pretty quickly, and I kind of love it.
I love it too.
And I'm actually really sad when it gets to the point where she starts like being suspicious of her, that she's the one making this happen with
me too.
And like the marks of protection under her bed, she mistakes them for marks of harm. It takes a while for it to like all come out, but they do eventually let it all out and they are friends at the end. So that's kind of sweet.
She actually does
have a female friend now.
Yes. And even just how it's this book we find that out, right? What she's doing during the actual competition when Elena's poisoned and all of that. Yes. She's like basically protecting her the entire time. And then, I mean
she like
feels guilty. It's so awful that she ever thought otherwise too. You know what I mean? But I think that I think Selena, obviously, she hasn't really been able to trust many people in her life. So I don't think that it's really, I don't think anyone can blame her for having
it's understandable with her history. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So luckily, though, it does all work out. They are like BFFs and I love it, but I love how it happens so quickly. She can speak the language and it's just like, boom. And then they're kind of just like talking and kind of excluding all the men, you know? So they just have this like sisterhood that automatically forms. And I love that.
Yeah. And after, so Nehemia, the first time I think she kind of comes clean a bit with Selena is after the Ritterak attack. And when Selena actually killed the Ritterak, but got a wound that would have killed her, but Nehemia came in and healed her. And then they really like let it out. That's when Selena tells her who she is. Nehemia tells her about the word marks, and then she gives her that new name.
Yes. How do you pronounce it?
I say Alentia.
Alentia. Okay. I wonder how it is.
Spirit that could not be broken.
Which I love.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. Like without her knowing it, it is a callback to the thing that Selena's been saying. And she says it's the only thing that got her through the whole year in Endovir is the mantra, essentially, that she learned from Sam.
I will not
And it's long, but the like essential bits of it is I will not be afraid. My name is Selena Sardathian and I will not be afraid. But she does at other times say, I will not break, you know, and she says that that kept her from breaking and only bending instead.
Yeah.
Which is a very sort of a Taoist philosophy as well, that like to, you know, strong things don't they aren't so strong that they're, if you're too strong, you're actually brittle. And so if you like can bend with things instead, you're actually stronger, right?
Because like
then you
that.
Go back. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes total sense. Yeah. So, and I love how she gave her her staff to fight the final duel against.
Although I felt a bit bad when it got broken. I was like, dang, she had that thing for her. Brought it from home. And I'm like,
I know, but that whole final battle was just nuts.
Well, especially once you brought in like the otherworldly stuff happening.
I know. I was trying to like envision that. That's the one thing that's so hard sometimes, like not seeing it play out on film, kind of thing, is just like envisioning every. There was a lot going on in that moment, and I'm just trying to like envision everything correctly.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if I still depicted it in my head as it should be, but there was some crazy shit going on.
Oh, yeah. And she's like not sure. She thinks it's just, so she knows after a while, she knows that she's been drugged slash poisoned.
Right.
It's the Bloodbane, which was part of her poison competition earlier that kid got her through. Another good ally.
Yes.
Remember that?
That's right. Well, but so also she knows the kid or Elena, because remember both. Elena was like, both was like, mm-hmm. what did she say about something to the right? Right? She
yeah, look like to your that. Right. The answers will be on your right. And she's so very Elena, vague in her wisdom.
I know. But let's back it up for a second here.
Okay.
So Elena, just so that I know in my head too. So she goes into, right. She finds this secret passage, which honestly, part of me feels like they knew it was there the whole time, but that's just me.
How could they not? Does no one ever move that tapestry? Come on.
I'm like, okay, someone purposely put her in this room with this passage, but okay, maybe I'm just not there yet. Anyway. She goes down there, and so Elena just appears?
The first time? Yeah.
Right. So she's like,
but she says that someone brought her there. So she's not a ghost. She says she's not a ghost because she doesn't haunt that place. But she's like a specter, essentially, a spirit.
Okay. Oh, okay.
She's not a ghost per se. So she's been in this other... She lived like 1,000 years ago. So
but not everyone can see her.
No. No one else can see her, I think.
Okay.
Nehemia knows of her. But yeah, she sees her there and she says someone else like brought her there to meet Selena.
Okay.
So she was the first. We know that Selena is from Terrasen.
Correct.
Right? The most northern country. Elena Galathinius Haviliard. So same last name as Dorian Haviliard. Mm-hmm. So she was the first princess of Terrasen and then fell in love with the first king of Adarlan, Gavin Haviliard, so Dorian's ancestor. And then they married.
Okay.
Right. And there was this really terrible battle then that we learn a little bit about. There was a dark lord named Erewhon, and they fought against him and killed him with this sword, Damaris, which is in the tomb with them. And that's the one that Selena uses to kill the Ridorak. Right. So she says, Elena says there's other forces at work here, because she says like someone brought us together. Like she basically can only stay there for little short times. She doesn't have the power to like do it on her own, but someone wants them. I can't say too much,
It
just says, like someone brought them together. And then the very last time she has like one of these sort of dream meetings with her, Elena says the line, she's like something about, you know, thank you for helping me, or why coming to see me, whatever. And Elena says blood ties cannot be broken.
So we know they're related somehow.
Related somehow. Yep. What's also interesting is Elena was half fae.
Right.
So Gavin was human. She's half fae. And, you know I said this when we were talking about ACOTAR, but it's like literally the one thing that drives me crazy about
fan art
is when they make them have those long pointy ears that like stick out 2 inches past their hair. And they're like little pointy sharp things.
Yeah.
Like it says right in the text, they're literal quote, ever so slightly pointed.
Yes.
Arched
I did
ears.
See one. I meant to send it to you. I did see one fan art and I was like, those would be ears that Cheryl would approve.
I mean, we know that Nesta purposely styles her hair the way she does in ACOTAR to hide those ears.
Yeah.
And yet when people draw her, they put the ears like pointing way out.
No.
Like, come on. She's not like Dobby the house elf. Come on. Her ears can be
Oh, man.
Anyway, so she's half fae. So she potentially has some kind of magical powers as well. And she gives Selena her necklace, this famous necklace called the Eye of Elena, which she says will protect her. And it does because in that final battle, Kane grabs it and breaks it off of her. And that's when she, like before that, she's been kind of drifting between what's real and what's not. And she feels like what she's seeing, like she's seeing this dark form. Kane looks like a dead person. She thinks it's all hallucinations because of the Bloodbane. Mm-hmm. But when the necklace is ripped off of her, then she's like fully in that world and she can see all of it. So it kind of was like shielding her from it somewhat.
Also, I just realized, I think I missed this part, that 8 gargoyles on the clock tower guard them. I'm looking at Cheryl's notes.
Yeah.
Guard the portal between the worlds. Gavin distracts them. so she can visit Selena?
Yeah. So there's one time, I'll just pull up that page right here. So it's one time when, actually it's the first time. It's the first time that she is in there. She's looking at all the stuff in the tomb and she sees the sword and says, Damaris. And Elena says, you know your history. And it like gives her a heart attack. She like falls against the wall. She's like, who are you? And she's like, yeah, you know who I am.
Yeah.
So, but she says, I've risked much coming here tonight. I can't stay here long. Neither can you. They are distracted for now, but, and then she looks over at Gavin's sarcophagus and she's like, okay, who needs distracting? The eight guardians, you know of whom I speak. The guardians on the clock tower, because Selena previously noted that this clock tower is like super dark and imposing. Mm-hmm. It's like, and it has two gargoyles on each side. So eight altogether at the top. And there's like word marks all the way around it at the bottom. And Elena says, they guard the portal between our worlds. We have managed to buy some time and I was able to slip past. You must listen to what I tell you. Nothing is a coincidence. Everything has a purpose. You were meant to come to this castle just as you were meant to be an assassin to learn the skills necessary for survival.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then she tells her that there's something really evil there. It's evil echoes into all's worlds. It's something wicked enough to make the stars quake. You have to destroy it. And then she says, you must win. You must become the king's champion. Aurelia, so their continent needs you. And then that's when she gives her the eye of Elena.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that just opened some more. This is why it's good to like process.
It should. It should open some questions for you.
So it does. It, yes. Like, you know. Okay. Anyway, I like her. I like Elena. So.
Yeah. I like her too. And so when you said that at the final battle, Nehemia was like doing stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we do find out, she tells her that what she was doing, she was actually like forming word marks in the mm-hmm. air. But she actually was essentially, she was doing a spell to call Elena. So she called yeah. her there and then Elena like interfered in the, like defended, put up a shield and did all and killed some of the bad, whatever those dark spirits were that were around her, enabling her to eventually kill Cain, or not kill but win against Cain.
Yes.
And she makes also a word, one of those word mark symbols visible on Selena's forehead.
Head. Yes. Okay. And it's there but it's not, right? Like
it's there but it's not everybody can see it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, during that we definitely know Cain knows who she is, and then even the like demon things that are around her, it says they called to her but called a different name. A dangerous name,
and we don't know what that name is.
You do not know what that name is
yet,
but you assume it's something to do with the thing that we found out earlier when she said that she jumped into the river and Arabin found her and gave her a new name that was less dangerous.
Okay,
yeah, I like during that battle too. It's a little like indicative of their bonds that, you know, obviously she has this romantic like almost lustful pull towards Dorian, mm-hmm. but her and Kale's friendship has really been strengthening through this book. And it's him that gets her back on her feet when she's essentially like going to give up because mm-hmm. she's so, so brutally like
mangled.
Yeah. I don't even know how she's still alive at that point after at the end of that, he gets her up. Yeah. So it's really like everybody plays a part. Dorian just kind of is like, he knows he can't interfere or the king will, like, I don't know, he can't do anything to interfere
because then she's essentially like disqualified, right?
Yeah.
But also, so back to how she gets poisoned by that bitch Caltaine.
Let's talk about Caltaine.
Like, so
that's the funniest thing when she first meets Nehemia, and she's like one of the first exchanges they have in Eelway is she hates her too. Like Caltaine is showing her around the castle and she's like, please get me away from this stupid woman.
Yeah. So I'm still trying to figure her out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So where I'm at, I still don't. She kind of goes away a little bit, but like she's not dead. So, you know, like.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of this book, she's thrown into the dungeon, right? Because Harrington essentially uses her and then throws her under the bus.
Right. And so
he's a creepy old man who clearly he wants her in like a physical way, but she's like sort of fending him off and being coy because she really wants, she's only using him to get closer to Dorian.
Right.
But he's using her, and we find out, we don't know exactly why, how and why for a long time, but towards the end, the Duke and the King are talking together, and we get that conversation, and we find out that the Duke was using power on her, and that's what was like draining her and giving her those headaches, which she's smoking opium for. So we know he was doing something to control her for a while, and then he stopped for a while. But he totally, like, he told her to poison Selena, but then totally threw her under the bus, was like, you did what?
So that's my, so he was using power on her.
Some kind of power.
Power. Yes. Magic?
Well, there is no magic.
Right.
We are told. However, we are told that the word marks are a separate kind of power. So that's why they still work.
Okay. Yeah,
so they're not magic per se. They're a different, older kind of power. So what it is that the Duke used, we don't, it isn't exactly named. Yet. However, we do get these little clues. Like in that conversation, both the Duke and the King are, playing with that black ring. Right. Okay. And even early, Caltaine like sees the Duke and her head throbs when his ring pulses. And I'm like, what the heck does a pulsing ring look like?
Yeah, I don't. Well, I'm
but that's what she thinks.
Just like, I'm wondering.
Glows or something?
Like, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
What I picture.
And then Kane is wearing one of those rings too. So it seems like the
yeah, they clearly have some baddies. Kind of like, yes, like the, they all have they clearly are in some kind of bad club. That's like how I was thinking it, right? And this ring is
bad
like their
club.
You know, yeah. Yeah, this ring is like their I don't know. But I again,
their
I don't,
emblem.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm not there yet. But anyway,
yeah.
She's a bitch. So
she is. Yeah, yeah, you don't feel bad at her for her at all at that point. No. Like when she's we're like, well, I mean, yeah, he's a dick because he's throwing you under the bus, but you did do it.
Yeah, you still did it. So bye. Yeah. So
yeah.
The blood vein. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, yes. We will see more of her. There is more of her story to tell.
I assumed, yes, because I feel like the story that we have is very little. So I'm still like, what's up with you?
Okay. You know, one tiny character who I really liked was Philippa. Her like...
Oh, the maid. Maid?
Yeah.
Really, you know.
Servant, I guess.
Yeah. She servant. Is very funny.
And she's, isn't she so much like Alice from...
Yes, that's what I was
picturing.
Spring Court?
Like, yeah.
She's also
except
no
maybe
bullshit.
Doesn't look like a tree trunk. Yeah. Totally. Straight talker. She's like not like afraid of Selena at all. Yeah. But she's like motherly when she needs to be and like hard ass
like relationship grows a bit. It starts off a little, you know, but she probably just had to like Philippa probably, you know, just had to kind of like make her place known kind of thing, you know, but like,
yes,
I'm here to serve you, but also you're not going to walk all over me. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of a, but I do. I like her character.
Yeah. I like her too.
Yeah. So, all right. So we did, let's see. We haven't
talked about all the main people.
I know, but I also feel like we haven't really talked about Kale. I mean, I guess we have.
True. Okay. Yeah, a little bit. So he's like an interesting guy because we find out later that he is a lord or could be, but he like renounced his title to his younger brother. So he could go and serve because him and Dorian were friends and he wanted to go serve there. Like we said before, he's very black and white. Like, I feel like his loyalty to the king is very blind.
Very much. Yeah.
And he's very skeptical.
Clearly is not a good king.
Right. I mean, I feel like that should be obvious from the start, but like he conquered a whole continent. But then, especially when we find out about the massacre that happened to Nehemia's people with the women and children and everything. There was like 500 of them. But I mean, even when he went to Endovir and saw the like way that they lived, you know, I just feel like he should have been raising questions and maybe he is, but he's also still serving him.
I feel like
at the same time.
Yeah. I don't want to, I feel like he, the only thing I'll say is it in this book where he kills someone?
Yes. So he kills Cain.
Right. Okay.
Because at the end of the battle, the king like nods to Cain like, yeah, go for it. And Cain goes to like kill Selena by stabbing her in the back, and Kale jumps in and kills him instead. And that's the first person he's ever killed, which is a bit surprising for
this. Yes. Okay. So this my point here. Yes. Because he is like very affected. Obviously. I mean, that's not something you do lightly.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I know the thing with Kale, and I like him a lot, and I don't want to use the term I'm thinking in my head. I'm not going to use, but I just feel like he's, gosh, what's the word I'm looking for? He's kind of a, what's the word? Like, he's just.
Is the word you're going to say the word that people use that is a stupid description of, is it? Okay. So is he like kind of like a,
say it, but like,
is he like a, is he like a testicle?
There you go. Like, yes. Yes. Right. Like,
that's what the word, say the word, the word that people use for men who are like, or just for people like, who are not tough, is a stupid word because that thing is super strong.
Exactly. That's why I don't want to say the word, but I just want to be like, dude, you are literally like head of the guard or whatever your title is. Right. You're supposed to be like this badass. Like, you don't get that role for nothing, but also we're just finding out you've never actually killed anyone.
And doesn't know how to fight. He says he's not a soldier. He doesn't know how to fight in a battle.
Well, I'm just like, how did you even get this role?
But like,
which he,
that's probably because of Dorian, I guess, because they were good friends. But he got it at 20.
Right.
I was like, there's got to be more experienced men in this.
Right. So this while place I that, like, him, and like, I like him a lot. Don't get me wrong. Like him a lot. But I'm just like, huh? Like, so
I know. I hear you.
Like, I feel like if I was Kale and I feel like I would just, I would feel about this tall next to Selena, who's like just this badass, like, you know what I mean? And he was so distraught over killing Kane naturally. Right. Like, I'm not, again, but it's just like, really?
Well, and he even says, I think she says, you know, I know what you felt like. I remember when I killed my first man and like how hard it was. He goes, well, that's what bothers me. It wasn't that hard. So I feel like he, again, he's so black and white and thinks it should be wrong, or thinks he should feel a certain way maybe, and then is surprised that he doesn't feel that regretful. And that's what he's actually struggling with. Maybe
we get more. I mean, I know we get more of him in the next book, but I'm just wondering if we get more.
Oh, we get so much more.
Okay. Okay. Good. I do like him. Do you still like him?
God, I wish I could tell you right now, because I know it's going to blow your mind, but I can't tell you.
I like spoilers. You don't have to say it on here. Well, we'll discuss after.
We'll talk about it. Just read the backs of all the books and I'll give you a book, but
it's true. Okay, but do you still like him with the series over?
Yes.
Oh, not as much
but
as
I didn't always.
Okay, okay. 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 Well, got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I just I feel like he could man up a bit.
Yeah, which I feel bad saying, because we're like so opposed to like toxic masculinity or whatever. Right. But it's just weird for a guy who's in the role that he's in.
That's exactly what it is. Like, it's like you're in this role. Like, it would make more sense if he was Dorian. But do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like the prince. I almost feel like they need to switch places. Like, it just doesn't really.
Funny. Yes.
There.
Yeah. So, there's this moment where you know where she finally gets her period back because she was so starving. Yes. She like lost it. I was like, that's a good bit of realism that Sarah threw in there.
Yes.
Yeah. But she gets it back and she's like, her pains are, she thinks they're so intense. She used to like vomit from the pain. Mm-hmm. And it's when he comes in and he's having this like heart to heart with her. And he says stuff like, you know, I understand why Nehemia might be, you know, resentful towards the king. Like, I'd like to think if my country was conquered, I would stop at nothing to win back my people's freedom. And then he starts saying like, I might have been wrong. It's just that I take great pride in my job. And you're Adderland's assassin. I was wondering, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I was like, you don't even get the end of it because she vomits on him. Like the whole time she's like getting worse. She's like, Kale. And he just keeps talking and talking. And I'm like, I feel like that's his first little bit though, or one bit of where he's actually doubting.
Questioning.
Questioning his blind loyalty. Mm. But then it gets interrupted with vomit.
Well, and I think meeting her is what kind of does that. The more he
triggered it.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
And it's interesting that like, as much as she opens up, there's certain things she opens up to Dorian more about, but it's Kale that she like tells about her parents' death.
Yes. Yeah, it's very interesting dynamic between, I know you
the
said
three of them.
It is kind of like a little bit of a love triangle because Dorian is
kind of like jealous.
Dorian
that she... and Kale are jealous of each other. Yeah.
Right. Without really saying it, you know?
Yeah.
It also just cracks me up that they're like in love with like the top assassin.
Well, she is pretty hot.
She is.
She's badass. I think I'm in love with her too.
I know, but it's just funny. But yeah. So okay, and so where do we? So we end with her, obviously becoming the king's champion.
Yes,
and she basically, I don't want to say breaks up with, but like tells Dorian, "Yeah, this thing
they can't take it further." Yeah,
yeah. But her and Kale are, you know, still friendly.
They are. Yeah. And he, like, the last couple bit lines of the last chapter, he's like, do you want to know what your first mission will be as, like, the king's champion? And she's just like, this is the last line. She looked at his golden brown eyes and all of the promises that lay within them and linked her arm with his as she smiled. Tell me tomorrow.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I see you're
pointing at the
okay.
color of my flag on that page. We're going to return to that at some point. I'll tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, she's just content in herself and so like satisfied. And in that last chapter, that even though she had to kind of hurt Dorian, she's so just, again, eye on the prize of this idea of being fully, truly free.
Yeah.
In a few years, even though she knows she's going to have to do some things. She actually considers it partway through this or several times through this. We heard that, you know, when she was a child, she didn't have a choice. But as soon as she got old enough to like choose jobs under Arabin, she always had freedom to choose, right? So she could say, no children, no this, no that. Like,
right.
I have limits for what I will do as an assassin. But she doesn't know if the king will let her do that. And in fact, he tells her that he's not going to let her do that. And that if she does question him, he's going after the people that she cares about.
Right.
So it could be pretty challenging stuff to come for her.
Mm-hmm.
We will see.
You know what else? I thought, so I had a hard time picturing this, but the castle is glass.
Yeah.
Terrifies her, right? She's like, this is just weird.
I think it's weird just for the craftsmanship of it.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why.
How did they do that?
I don't know.
Like, it's a world where, I mean, was it built before he got rid of magic? Because then I could understand it a little bit more. It
must have been.
Because magic can do anything, right? But it's like an old stone castle with all this glass. And when it's first described, I mean, it's pretty spectacular. Like, hold on, let me actually just pull that page up because
I picture Elsa's ice castle.
Yes, that's very good.
You know.
Yes, but made of ice. No, it's made of glass instead of ice.
Yeah.
So she's looking at it as they're like coming into Rifthold for the first time. So she used to live in a Rifthold. She's seen it before, but this is just, she's been away.
Right.
It was gargantuan, a vertical city of shimmering crystalline towers and bridges, chambers and turrets, domed ballrooms and long endless hallways. It had been built above the original stone castle and cost a kingdom's wealth to construct it. And she says, and she remembers when the first time she'd seen it, when she was a little girl coming in there. Even then, she found the castle tasteless, a waste of resources and talent, its towers reaching into the sky like clawed fingers.
Mm.
And there's a bit when they decide not to enter the city at night. They decide to camp outside for that last night. Mm-hmm. And when she's looking at it, it's glowing green, which is a bit weird.
Yeah.
And then later there's a scene towards the end of the book in the throne room where the fire is described as greenish.
Hmm.
Which is that kind of weird, unless they're burning like driftwood or something. Like, they're just kind of like clues. I feel like that there's something weird about it.
And yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at your notes here too on the side because I pronounce when Cheryl's great with her notes, right? That we look at as we chat, but I'm laughing of when Selena found Elena's tomb. And
yeah.
I did pronounce it Samhuin.
So in the book, it's spelled Samhuin. Samhuin. Which is funny.
You don't know.
If you know
Samhuin in Outlander fans.
Yeah, Samhuin is the actor that plays Jamie Fraser in Outlander, Samhuin. So I was listening. I read it before and I never did that in my head because the holiday of Samhain is spelled. Oh. It has various spellings, but it's the most common is Samhain.
Okay. So you've
so very it. Similar to this. This is a variation. And it is the same day because they talk about it being, it's in the fall. It's a day where the veil is thin between the dead and the living. Like it is Samhain. So I said Samhain in my head, thinking that this is just a different spelling of it. But then this time is the first time I've been listening to the audiobooks. Mm-hmm. And she says Samhain. And I just cracked up every time because there's one line where Selena thinks someone wanted me to come here on Samhain. I swear my ear, I was like, a what?
You're like, I'm sorry.
They wanted you to what?
Selena is thinking what a lot of us are thinking. That's so oh my funny. Goodness. I did pronounce so it that funny. Way. No, I was like, Samhain. Maybe not, but I'll go with it.
I actually had to like Google it because there's a few pronunciations in the audiobook narrator is awesome throughout mm-hmm. this, but there's a few pronunciations that I was like, really? Like, is that how Sarah like says that word? Mm-hmm. Because it's not how I would normally say it. Like saying, yeah. you know, even when you spell fairy, like meaning not, you know, Tinkerbell fairy, but yeah, fairy, yeah. like the larger yeah. sense, people usually say fairy, mm-hmm. but she says fairy.
Oh.
And like a wyvern, she says, she describes wyverns, like they have a wyvern on the, it's like the symbol of the crown or whatever. It's on like okay. Kale's uniform and stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's like a mythological creature. It's a wyvern. Hmm. But I was like, maybe she wants to go with the pronunciation wyvern, even though it's spelt like every other fantasy book that says wyvern. So right. I'm not sure about those ones, but that one was the one that definitely made me crack up. Samhain. Coming on Samhain.
It makes an appearance. It does. Honestly, just related to everything we're reading. Samhain's yeah. a crown of glass. Look at that.
Well, it's appropriate since there's all those rumors that he'll be in the new ACOTAR series, which I highly doubt, but
I don't
the rumors are out there.
Yeah.
I think he's just far too old. Like yeah. Fae are supposed to like settle into their adult form somewhere in their like late teens to 20s. Mm-hmm. So I just don't see how any of them, even if they're an older Fae, like they don't really age the same way we do. So I can't see how someone in their 40s would play.
Yeah,
I just you'd have to play one of the human characters.
Play like I don't.
Yeah, like I think I would be fine with him playing Elaine's fiance's father, that guy yeah. that has the like because it's age appropriate and right. He could play that and do a good job, I think. But I can't Someone see him just, playing any of the main characters.
They just announced his new movie that's coming
yeah.
out. And I've gotten a few DMs like sending me the thing, and I'm like, yeah, I saw this, but I don't think I'm gonna see it. And they're like,
I'll see it, but I'll like I'll wait for Netflix. I really like Priyanka Chopra, so
yeah, I'm sure it's great, but like he is Jamie Frazier in my head, so I just need him to stay Jamie Frazier. Do you know what right. I mean? Like, I don't want to see him in another role. Maybe that's
I hear bad. You. I actually it, bought that book, so that movie has been so delayed. And yeah. it's changed its name like 3 times. So it's based on this book called Text for You, which I have.
Wasn't that what it was called?
It was called that originally. And then they changed the name and then they changed the name again. Now it's called Love Again. Okay. But it was originally, so it's set in Germany, the book. And they made a German film of it. And that one was, well, it was called like SMS für dich, like, but basically Text for You.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I bought the book a while ago and I've been basically holding on to it, waiting because I wanted to read it just before seeing the movie.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I probably will see it, but I won't. I rarely will go see like a romantic comedy in the theaters now.
Yeah.
Because like it's, you know, back in the day when my husband and I went to see like 1 or 2 movies a week, like we would see them all. But now it's like once every few months I go to the theater. And so I usually save it for something that's like a blockbustery kind of thing, right? Like right, yeah. I feel like a romantic comedy, you can watch it at home on your TV and it's like the same experience. Whereas like yeah. a Marvel movie or something of that nature, like you're going to have a different experience in the theater yeah. with the big screen and sound and all of that.
I'm not a big movie goer, as we know.
We know this sad fact.
I know. It's also ridiculously expensive to go to the movies. Like, it's crazy just how, I mean, that's like a full, gosh, it used to be so inexpensive.
You know? It used to be so cheap. We'd go on, like, did you guys have like cheap Tuesdays?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we would go on Tuesdays. We'd go to a matinee. It's cheap. There'd it's like be no one there. Bucks. It was great. Fantastic. Now I buy my tickets at Costco, but, you know, the kids always want all the treats and stuff. And
yeah. I know. It adds up. Oh my gosh, it adds up. But I know, it's not something. I think the last movie I saw in theater might have been Frozen 2, which I love.
That makes sense. We're going to go see the new Ant-Man movie comes out next week. So it was my kiddo's birthday, my teenager's birthday this week. So we're going to take him and his friends to see that next week. So again, a Marvel movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of feels like a good use of that space.
Yeah, we're not big Marvel people, but I would. And then I wanted to see the new Avatar, but 3 hours seems daunting. So I might like wait and just watch that at home where I can like pause, come back to it the next night. That's a long time to devote to a movie.
It is long.
Although I guess I say that, but yet I could easily watch like 3 hours worth of Outlander in a row. So, I mean,
but I could do that at home, but like that in a theater where you have to like, if you're eating snacks, then what if you have to go pee? You have to like leave and you can't pause it.
Yeah. I watch them at home, but
yeah.
Anyway.
A little bit of a detour.
Yeah. Total side rail. But yes, I'm sure he'll be great in that movie, but I think he's just going to stay Jamie Frazier for me. Yeah, I would love to see these. I mean, I don't know if that'll ever happen, but I feel like that whole same thing with Avatar. Sarah J. Maas just amazes me in her writing. And I feel like that would be badass to see on screen. But at the same time,
I feel like they could do it really well. Yeah. But I would want them to do like, I feel like the Throne of Glass movies could really suit, the Throne of Glass books could really suit movies. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, Netflix movies or anything, because I feel like each one of them is, I mean, they do get longer, but still like short enough. You could definitely see this plot in a 2-hour movie, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it has like the action, like the competition really is just like what carries through the plot of this novel. But really this is like the setup and the world building and the introduction of some key characters and to carry us through the rest of the books, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah.
So I feel like there's not like big battles and stuff that they'd have to do.
Right. Just the one at the end. But we learn a lot, you know, in this book. And again, like I said, I've got like maybe like a quarter left in the next book. So
Crown of Midnight. Yeah.
Yes. I feel like this
has my Crown of Midnight right here. She looks so badass on the cover of that, doesn't she? Does. Mm-hmm. Is that what yours look like? Yeah, it does, because you haven't got the new ones yet, right?
It is.
Yeah.
So, yes, I feel like this was a good setup leading into that one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to finish that one, and I think then shit gets wild. I told you, I'm at one part in that book. Something happens in that book, and shit hits the fan. So I was like, oh, it's all downhill from here. So
I think I know what part you're at, but
probably. Well. She just goes batshit crazy, and is like, you know, like just raging. So I was like, whoo.
She doesn't have that much control over herself and emotions sometimes.
No, she's not really good at emotional regulation. If we're gonna discuss
that. Fancy that.
Not really good at that.
There was no one really showing her appropriate emotional response.
I can't imagine why she wouldn't. but yes, she does, even with like with so many things. Yes. You know, she like, it's she's like either all in or not, you know, I feel like with a lot of, right. Yeah. There's no in between. It's like, even with like shopping, it's like all in, like everything. Or
oh my gosh. The 3-pound bag of candy that Dorian gives her, and she's like a pound and a half of candy.
And one he's sitting. Like, where did this go?
Like, her teeth are all stained red from candy.
But I also love that he brings her, you know, like, again, I just like their kind of relationship. Is he the one that brings her chocolate cake? Or is that cake?
Yes. 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 Remember? He does. I think he has it ordered or whatever, but.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Orders treats to be delivered to the room.
Yeah. So anyway, fantastic so far. So on to the next.
Can't wait to talk about more.
My thought is.
Yes. And we have a really great, we can't announce it yet because I don't have the codes, but we have a really great collaboration for you coming up to tie in with this series. So we gave you one with the ACOTAR series, and there's another one coming for this. I'm really excited about it. I think both of us are. And we will announce that to you as soon as we can.
Yes. And then we'll also link our SpeakPipe again in the show notes. So obviously, we're not fully set on how we're going to roll out these episodes. I think we're going to throw in some other books too in between, just for those of you who are not reading the series like back to back. But you can leave us a message on SpeakPipe for any of these books, right? Because you know, obviously, we're going to be chatting all of them. So you can leave one on the series. I'm going to have Cheryl listen to those so that she can pre-screen for me, because I'm obviously reading kind of as we go. But you can absolutely leave us a message, tell us your thoughts, just specify which book you are calling in about, and write, you know, as you leave your message so that we know. And then we might air you in that recording. So yeah. Right. I'm pumped. I know a lot of you guys were looking forward to this series. So we're going to get through it. We're going to throw some.
I love it. Ones and, in, you know, we've said before, it's not as spicy as ACOTAR, but it is a slow burn. And I will say overall, I prefer this series to ACOTAR. I know. We'll have to see what you think when you're done.
Wow. I never thought you would say that.
I do. There's just so much more to it. I feel like it's bigger. Like literally, I mean, there's more books. I mean, I love them too, but wait till you.
It is funny you say that though, because
wait till you see the end game couples in this book. I mean, you might get there too.
Okay. A lot of people, I did actually put that, a this or that, up on our Instagram. Yes. A lot of people said they preferred Throne of Glass over ACOTAR.
Yeah.
Which is just very.
And I love ACOTAR. I mean, when I say over, this is a very close margin.
I see. Like by a tenth of a point,
something like that. Yeah. But I just feel when we get there, I'll tell you as we get to them. But there's some of my very, very favorite characters in all of the Massiverse are from this series. So
makes sense. All right. Well, yes. Leave us that message. You know where to find us over on social. Thank you guys for tuning in. Please subscribe because then you get notified when our new episodes go live. And you also get early access over in our Patreon. So we'll link that in the show notes as well. Right? All right.
All sounds good.
Throne of Glass. And stay tuned for Crown of Midnight. Dun, dun, dun. We'll catch you guys next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.